Jerod Mayo will tell you who his starting quarterback will be on Sunday when he joins us at 9:30 on a Mayo Monday. Right now, Boomer Esiason on a Patriots Monday, and Boomer is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services. You can find them at McFarlandEnergy.com. By Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. By Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And Boomer is also brought to you by your New England Kubota tractor dealers. Boomer, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Has the sting worn off
no.
a little bit?
We prefer to call it the horror, if that's okay. But no, it is not. Although, Patriots got to turn it around, turn the page, and get back at it and get ready for the Niners.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. The Niners, all of a sudden, I'll do something that they haven't done in a long time, and that is lose a 14-point lead late in the game to a Ram team. That was a shell of itself, but that Ram team does have Matthew Stafford. That's something that the Patriots do not have.
Yeah. I mean, would you start Drake May this week? You got to see 4 minutes of him end of the game on Thursday night. Anything you saw that leads you to think Jerod Mayo might do that?
Yeah, I think it's coming close to it. I don't know if he'll do it this week. He may wait another week. I'm not sure. But as you can see, there are problems that the Patriots have on offense that we've been speaking about since the opening game. I just think that their offensive line is in tatters. They struggle with quick pass rushers. So Nick Bosa, you know, assuming he's playing, is going to have a field day. We all know that. These are situations where you sit down, you kind of take stock in what you have and whether or not you can, you can protect him. He's going to make a lot of mistakes simply because that's what rookies do, and you just want to make sure you're putting him in the right situation. But I understand the frustration for Patriot fans. They're not seeing anything out of their offense. You can't tell whether or not they have any playmakers simply because they don't really attempt to throw the ball downfield, and when they do throw the ball downfield, it's highly inaccurate. So the reason that Jacoby's playing is because he's not turning it over, and Jerod Mayo thinks that this is the way that they can actually stay in games. I agree with him, but when you see a whitewashing like you saw last Thursday, it's hard to really believe in that concept.
That offensive failure Thursday night, is that more on the offensive line, which you brought up, or on Jacoby Brissett?
It's a little bit of both. There's no question that if Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady are playing behind that group, or even Joe Burrow, if you remember when Joe Burrow went to the Super Bowl against the Rams, he had one of the worst offensive lines in the league. So the quarterback does have a huge influence in all of this, and he is supposed to rise the players around him. But in this case, you know, Jacoby is a guy that's just playing it safe. And, you know, there were a couple plays that if he were to just held on the ball for like a nanosecond and dropped it off to somebody breaking out of the backfield, he probably would have had three or four huge plays against the Jet defense that, you know, of course they were stifling and they were blitzing, but there were opportunities for big plays that Jacoby did not make.
Boomer, I've been told so many times that you don't want to ruin a rookie quarterback. So if you're Drake May and you're put in that situation and you have such a small sample size, how difficult is it if you're reliving that small, 4 minutes in your mind over and over again, if you don't see the field again, could that hurt a rookie quarterback? Could that ruin a rookie quarterback?
Now, I guess it's the psychology of the sport and the position that is so difficult to play. He is in there for mop-up duty. He's in there for to get a taste of what a real game feels like, Courtney. It's hard to evaluate that. I would imagine that, okay, I got my feet wet. You know, I felt like what it, you know, I feel or I felt like what it was it's supposed to be like, and against a very good defense that, you know, obviously knew that they had the Patriots number. I mean, there was no room to move. When you have 138 yards of total offense in a game, that's about as embarrassing as it gets. I mean, and that is about as futile as it gets. I can only hope that it didn't scar him, but it gave him kind of a understanding of what he's stepping into. I know this is going to be a discussion point the entire year with this team, depending on when he plays. And when he finally plays, do we see anything? Do we see a secondary play? Do we see a big play that comes off of a broken play? Do we see him standing in the pocket and delivering the ball where it's supposed to be delivered? I mean, there are probably, I would say, 15 to 16 quarterbacks right now that are just playing god-awful and aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing and trying to make something out of nothing pretty much on every play. And we go right down the list as to who they are. I just hope that Drake May doesn't fall into that trap.
Boomer, you would know better than anybody whether or not you can actually ruin a quarterback. I see guys like Sam Darnold that leave the Jets with a brief stop somewhere else, and he's performing well. Yeah. And then there's a guy like Zach Wilson who I think would have sucked no matter where he was. Isn't it more about the actual talent of the player than an organization's ability to ruin a good player?
Well, it's the personality of the player. Like, you guys haven't really gone through that much. I guess the last 4 years, you could say that you've kind of gone through a little bit of that with Mac Jones. But I would say that, you know, the Jets have ruined a lot of players that have come through here. And the Sam Darnold situation is really unique because he sat for a year in San Francisco behind Brock Purdy and watched Kyle Shanahan run that offense, call plays, and watch Brock Purdy pretty much put an MVP performance together last year. So it's no surprise for most of us that Sam Darnold is actually having a decent year. And he's with a coach, Kevin O'Connell, who you guys know, who knows how to design plays, call plays, get guys open. And I think Sam has finally matured to the point where he's an asset for a team as opposed to a liability. So it was a mess down in Carolina for him. He goes to San Francisco and does what I would call a leap year in quarterback school and then comes back and has a former quarterback as his head coach calling plays. And he's got really good players around him, and he's not turning the ball over like he used to. And that's kind of the ingredients to be a success. So everybody's a little bit different. Even Baker Mayfield's a guy that has resurrected his career despite what happened yesterday. He's still the unquestioned leader of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and who would have thought that 3 years ago?
Speaking of organizations not giving young players a chance, Panthers have been getting phone calls about Bryce Young. You think they deal him during the season?
No, I don't. I think they'll keep him. I think maybe it's an off-season kind of thing, kind of like, you know, what San Francisco did with Trey Lance, although they had to pull the ripcord relatively quickly on that one because they knew that they had Brock Purdy. And Kyle Shanahan told Jed York that Brock Purdy was the best quarterback on the roster when Brock was a rookie third stringer. So they saw something special in Brock. So they cut their losses relatively quickly. I don't necessarily know that that's the case, but once again, it just goes to show you what happens when you do have a valuable, reasonable backup quarterback in Andy Dalton. I mean, he threw 58 passes last year against the Seattle Seahawks and almost pulled out a game, but then they put Bryce Young back in at the owner's behest. Now the owner seems to be staying out of it, and Dave Canales is grabbing hold of it. And lo and behold, they go out and they beat the Patriots. So just goes to show you just how valuable a quarterback like Andy Dalton can be in a moment like this.
The Eagles get a win yesterday, but you open up social media, you listen to Eagles fans right now, and they're pissed with Nick Sirianni. Is he a coach that could be an issue with them making it to, say, the Super Bowl or getting a win like that?
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but there's a lot of weird things that the Eagles do that don't make a lot of sense. And then after the game, I think that Nick's post-game press conferences sometimes make it worse, which is amazing to me. I mean, like, especially after you win and you win a good game the way that they won yesterday, it doesn't matter how many points you score. It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, if you come out of New Orleans, given the fact that they had scored 91 points in the first 2 weeks and you win a game, you should be celebrated. But for some reason, and I think this goes back to last year, and it goes back to last week when they pulled what they pulled at the end of the game, and it didn't work out against the Falcons. So Nick Sirianni is one of the interesting guys to watch as a coach in this league simply because that fan base is very, very restless, and they're fed up with the in-game decisions that he is making. So it's not surprising to me that the Eagle fan isn't totally happy, but they should be, especially when you beat one of the better teams in the league thus far.
Boomer, that seems to me the Eagles as the best landing spot for Bill Belichick should the Eagles move on from Sirianni. Would you feel the same way? And if not, where would you think Bill's best spot would be?
Wow. Wow, that's a good question. I was thinking Dallas.
Yeah,
I was thinking Philadelphia. I guess I'm thinking the Giants. If the Giants, if the Giants would have won 0-3 yesterday, and they actually played a really great first half. It was one of the best first halves that the Giants have played in 3 years. But the second half was all defense, and the offense kind of took a back seat to that. But I was thinking any one of those three teams. You know, Mike McCarthy is a lame duck coach right now, and he does not have a contract passed this year. And very few coaches ever find themselves in that situation. So that tells me if good old Jerry Jones doesn't get what he wants out of this team and doesn't get to the playoffs, and right now I wouldn't say that they would be an odds-on favor to make it, especially after their last two home games, that I definitely could see Jerry Jones going down that road next year. So there are plenty of places that will definitely interview, I would think, Bill Belichick, but those are three places that, you know, I would have at the top of my list.
Well, based on the Instagram Live that we saw this weekend, Jerry Jones is still involved in every aspect of the organization.
Isn't that great? I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, he's the general manager. He's the guy that, you know, he's
evaluates the talent.
I mean, all I can tell you is that, you know, there are other owners out there that are involved that never played a snap of football. At least I could say that Jerry Jones played football and actually has some modicum of understanding as to what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, no, he knows every detail about his players very well. I mean, so honestly, I give him a lot of credit for that. Justin Fields has the Steelers at 3-0. Is that now his job to lose, even if Russell Wilson is 100%, Boomer?
I mean, do the Steelers play Steeler football or what? This is three straight weeks where the Steelers defense just absolutely decimates and dominates the opposing team. And as long as Justin Fields is not turning the ball over, and what was nice about him yesterday in the third and fourth quarters, he actually made some really, really key plays. So, yeah, it's definitely his job until something goes south. I don't see them making a change. There's no reason to change, and it's not pretty on offense. They're not scoring 30 points a game. But as long as he's not turning the ball over, I can't imagine that Mike Tomlin would go to Russell Wilson. There's no reason to do that at this moment. As long as you're 3-0 and the team is playing the way it's playing, like I said, offense is not pretty. He does not process the field very well, but he has made some plays here in these three games that have led to wins, and that's really all that matters.
The question of the week for Boomer Esiason, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. My lead this morning was that the Mac Jones to Miami rumors continue to swirl. Is that a spot where Mac Jones might be able to reclaim his potential NFL dominance?
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that Miami is definitely in a quarterback quandary, and they realize that their season is on the brink right now. And they have to do something. I mean, the pace, you know, Skylar Thompson looks like he broke his ribs. So if he breaks his ribs, he's out for at least 4 or 5 weeks. They don't have anybody. I think Tyler Huntley is on their roster. They're not going to win with him. So they are scouring every single team's roster. They will try to make a trade, I believe, because there's really nobody out there. They're not going to bring Ryan Tannehill back. I don't see that. So therefore, a trade has to be made. And Mac Jones seems to me, or Bryce Young potentially, seems to me like the two guys that would be the most logical choices for the Miami Dolphins if they can swing a trade for one of those two guys.
That would be perfect. Week 5, Tom Brady in the booth, Mac Jones as the Dolphins quarterback against the Patriots, and potentially Drake May's debut.
Oh, man. And by the way, I don't know, what did you think of Brady's performance yesterday?
I thought he was good.
Yeah.
I thought he was
better. He's getting better and better every week.
He's got the energy.
He was critical. I liked the D-throw comments about Dak Prescott. It is still, Boomer, you did this forever at the highest level. The awkward pauses where I think Burkhart's trying to get Tom involved still exist. So I don't know if those will get better, but I thought he was much better than week one.
They will get much better. You just got to get used to his voice.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Like, you guys have heard him a lot over his 20 years in New England, but you know, for a lot of the everyday fan, they don't know the voice as much as you guys do. So the voice is going to be a big thing to get used to. And, yeah, I agree. I think the last 2 weeks he's gotten more comfortable. He's gotten more critical. And he's not afraid to let people know exactly, you know, how he sees things. And, it, like, watching some of these quarterbacks the last couple of weeks that he has had to do the games with, you know, from the way he played to the way that some of these guys are playing, I'm surprised that he isn't more critical. But then again, I'm sure it's a balancing act for him.
All right, Boomer. Well, we appreciate the time, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Sounds good. Have a great week.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. A lot of upsets yesterday in the NFL. The Chiefs did hang on for a 22-17 win over the Falcons, but the Niners fell to the Rams 27-24. The Ravens hang on to get their first win of the season over the Cowboys. They almost let that one go after being up 28-6 going into the fourth. They only win it 28-25. Seems like Boomer may be a toe on Mac Island?
Chime glossed right over that, but Boomer said it's likely. I mean,
did he say likely or logical?
I mean, either.
No, they're very different. Logical is, yeah, the team needs a quarterback, so if he's available, go get him.
Right.
But likely would indicate that there's actually a chance, which there isn't, because Mike McDaniel has seen this guy four times and knows how bad he is and has zero desire to bring him to his roster.
Okay.
All right.
We need it to happen now.
I can't wait for it to not happen so we can permanently end all Mac Jones discussion on this program.
Well, Dolphins quarterback Skylar Thompson led midway through the third quarter of their loss to the Seahawks after suffering what Mike McDaniel is calling a painful rib injury. College games important to this show this weekend. Early bye week for Georgia, but BC pulls out a win for the Red Bandana game at a rainy alumni. 23-19, the final against Michigan State. And UMass got their first win of the season. Against CCSU.
Yeah, 38-35, so it's a good game.
Good game. The Red Sox beat the Twins 8-1 and then 9-3 in a doubleheader yesterday. Tristan Cassis, the main headline of this one. Cassis homered in his first three at-bats in the first game of the day. Alex Cora talked about Cassis after, as featured on last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
He went from that game on Friday to this, you know, obviously missing time, put him in a bad spot. You know, the inconsistency of the at-bats, but that's part of the process, right? And, you know, when he goes the other way, that's when you're like, okay, cool. You know, it's not only poolside. You know, he can do damage going the other way. He can stay on pitches. And he's a good hitter. He's a good hitter, and he dominates the strike zone. So those are good signs.
You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. The boys are on the road now, taking on the Blue Jays tonight. 7:07 first pitch with Tanner Houck getting the start. You can hang out with Coop at 6:07 for the MassMutual pregame show. And then Will Fleming and Lou Maloney have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network right here on EEI and, as always, on the Odyssey app.
Well, there's actually a listen party at Echelon tonight, so I'll be there celebrating.
Curtis, you're welcome anytime.
Oh, that's
love to have you.
Do you know when you're not invited somewhere? When somebody says, come by whenever.
Yep.
Big fall cleanup weekend at the condo. Apparently all my stuff has to go. Apparently I don't live in a bachelor condo anymore.
Nope.
So none of my stuff. All my stuff that I have and that I like is apparently not good enough.
To be clear, you chose this life. You were done relationships.
Okay,
this is your choice.
On my coffee table, I have like some photo books.
Okay,
coffee table books.
They are sports themed.
Yep.
Like I have the NFL 100. I have the Bruins 100 year centennial book.
Sports talk for dummies.
I like those books.
Yeah.
So
you have always read picture books more than actual books.
Sports. Apparently, all those have to go away. There has to be flowers and overly priced scented pumpkin candles. Right.
Do smell good, though.
I mean, to be honest, the place didn't smell bad before. Like, right. I don't really notice any difference.
There's
too
many books, though. Like, I'm with Lindsay there.
A lot of magazines.
Look at your charcuterie board. It's like over all of these magazines. I don't know.
And I have to say that Marconi should not be near such an SETV. Like, look at that thing.
That TV's small.
God,
man.
Does that suck.
Did she allow you to keep the Boston Common Man of the Year
The magazine cover.
Yeah, the magazine
nope.
cover. That's down.
That got taken down.
Okay, Lindsay and is worth her weight in gold.
And yep. that got replaced with that bookshelf thing there.
Man, I got to get rid of that bookshelf thing.
That's
get
new.
A nice,
that's brand new. She just got that.
Yeah, she's got to get rid of that.
She just got that. That thing came yesterday.
Right, but I'm telling you, you got to get a nice TV stand that's longer than your TV and goes underneath it. Here's what you need to do.
Do you like flying JetBlue, Greg, because the TV's bigger than the one at home?
No, he has it mounted. He doesn't need a TV stand.
No,
he just
needs
to get rid of that black.
No,
what is that black like case under there?
Yeah, that's
like a piece. Is that of leather?
Yeah, it's leather.
No, Courtney.
What's wrong with that?
No,
don't tell
me,
chick.
Don't listen to Greg, don't listen to women on this.
Oh.
When it comes to your television area, take it from the men.
No, I don't have any say in the matter anymore.
You should have.
There's a difference between men and women.
Right.
And we should be able to meet in the middle. Like, I want some of my things in my,
right.
In our place.
But it's like I told my wife, when it comes to the apartment, all I ask is you give me the freedom to control the TV area and setup. You need a TV stand underneath that television, whether it's a floating one or one that's on the ground. You can get you a nice one that has looks like it has a fireplace in it. The bookshelf and that other thing.
One that looks like it has a fireplace in it.
Have
please,
you seen
those? Yeah,
you want me
please
to
God,
a,
do not.
Greg, I'm telling you. You don't listen to women because that's how it's going to look. It's going to look awful.
And what's with the Taco Tuesday recipes?
That was a book that she was looking through. That's not normally there.
Trying to
big
help you
Kurt
out, brother.
Cobain guy?
What? You have an issue with Kurt Cobain?
No, I didn't know you were big, you know.
Well, he's the thing. He invented a form, a whole genre of music.
Yeah.
Nirvana is arguably the most revolutionary rock band in the history of
Greg
rock.
Greg loves
bands.
His grunge.
And we all know Greg's place smells like Teen Spirit.
Trying to help you out, brother.
You got to get rid all of the right. magazines. That's it.
No, I don't have to get rid of the magazines.
You do.
No.
Yeah, well, you don't. You can't put anything on the table.
I don't know. What are you going to put on the table
other than your
feet?
A snack. A drink.
Is tomorrow going to be Shrimp Taco Tuesday?
All right, enough, please. Can we move on? What about the weather? Can we get to the weather?
Yeah, it's really hot. Not really. It's 59 degrees, afternoon high of 65.